Troubling news from Ukraine this morning. A Russian guided bomb attack on Kharkiv shattered much of a landmark building, a very celebrated skyscraper in Ukraine's second city dating from the 1920s. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I bet you're very familiar with this building.
Indeed, Bob, and hello from Kyiv. If you might remember, but last Monday when I was in Kharkiv, I was reporting to you from directly outside of that building, the Dersprom building. And if you go, you know, if you look at my YouTube channel at JP Lindsley, you can see that majestic skyscraper built in 1928 right behind me. And that really, it's on Freedom Square, closest for Boda, in the center of Kharkiv. And that is really the chief icon of the city. And, you know, it's a real big blow. And I think in an unexpected way for so many people. When we heard the news last night, as soon as I got it, you know, almost everyone I knew in Kharkiv was calling each other or texting each other. And it's, you know, you think, I mean, obviously, you know, the worst things for Ukrainians, and I know this having been here every day of this big war, you know, the loss of freedom is the worst. And then after that, the loss of life. And indeed, last night there was, Russians sent several glide bombs, these very messy bombs, upon Kharkiv City. And they also hit a house, and a sleeping family was killed. And so that's, you know, that's the worst thing. But there was something about hitting the Dersprom that put people, anyone that I know who is from Kharkiv or who spends a decent amount of time there, including Americans who go there to volunteer, something about the Russians hitting the Dersprom sort of opened up this unique type of unexpected depression for everyone I know connected to Kharkiv. And I was just talking, I had a voice memo today from the guy called Gomlet, who's sort of the Ukraine's Banksy. He's a Kharkiv-based graffiti artist. And he was in a coffee shop in Kharkiv. And I could hear people, as always, cheerful, and the city continues. You know, he said, you know, thank God there was no loss of life in that building. But it still was, you know, it was a crushing blow. It was such a, I mean, a lot of the building still stands. It's a massive building. It covers three city blocks. On that central square, and it was made with reinforced concrete. It was very innovative at the time, and you know, it looks like something from a comic book from the 1930s. And the Russians did cause significant damage. And I think, as I was trying to figure out why did this feel like such a sucker punch? And you know, we look at it the same way that Adolf Hitler in World War II, he didn't want to destroy Paris. He didn't want to destroy the Eiffel Tower because he wanted it for himself, like his precious, like Schmeagol and Lord of the Rings. And in the same way, it seems, you know, Putin has, and the Russians have largely avoided hitting the most beautiful landmarks in Ukraine. They've destroyed a lot of churches in the East, including Russian Orthodox churches they've destroyed. But they haven't destroyed sort of the most famous icons. They haven't even really tried to hit those. And to realize that now, the Russians would do this. They would hit the Dersprom. I think it's a realization for I think almost everyone from connected to Kharkiv that Putin knows that he can't take Kharkiv City, and so now it's time for him to destroy it. And as he has destroyed so many villages and smaller cities in that region, you know, for example, in the city of Volchansk, which is about 20 miles. To the north of Kharkiv, that was obliterated during the summer, and there's a feeling now that almost out of some kind of insane jealousy that it's time for to really speed up the destruction of Kharkiv. And so the fact that the Russians would hit that landmark is a real blow for everyone who loves that city of Kharkiv. You know, even though the war stories are those about the loss of life and the loss of freedom for people who lose, you know, whose land is now already occupied by Russia.
Very troubling. Isn't this also, though, right out of Putin's playbook, trying to attack the spirit of the people of Ukraine? And obviously, knowing that this building was such a landmark, he obviously would know the effect of bombing that skyscraper, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for Ukrainians, usually something like this, it's, you know, makes people angrier and, you know, more willing to work hard to resist Russia's invasion here. And so I think part of it, he still doesn't understand the nature of free people. You know, the Russians have tolerated, the lack of freedom going back to the times of the czars, the times of communism. Ukrainians, like the people of Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, and all the others who suffered under the Iron Curtain, since the fall of the Soviet Union, those countries, including Ukraine, have embraced freedom. But Russia still hasn't, and it seems like it's not in the DNA. And so I think Putin, perhaps he still thinks that he could break the spirits in this way, but I don't see that happening with Kharkiv. I think actually the effect, the greatest effect of it might be a further weakening of the will in the West. You know, you say, oh, this guy Putin, he's really unleashed. You know, we better find a way to negotiate. I could see that attitude taking hold in Washington.
On the subject of freedom, this text from a listener. Bob, please share this with Joseph. I am amazed that many in Ukraine are listening to Joe and WGN daily, even in the trenches. I would like to tell them how grateful we are for their defense of democracy and freedom. I don't normally hope for the demise of humans, but please make the North Korean soldiers and government regret setting foot in Ukraine by wiping them out completely. I don't like that Russia's aggression can trigger another Korean War. It's just about freedom. There you go.
Well, and to that listener, know that indeed, as the person wrote, that those words, that there will be at least a few Ukrainian soldiers hearing precisely those words, message of support and I'm sure a boost of confidence there in the trenches. And, as we see, we talked about yesterday about, is it a sign of weakness for Russia turning to North Korea? And, I said, and Russia's trying to get stronger. But now this has awakened South Korea. South Korea has not sent a lot of resources to Ukraine. And President Zelensky had a phone call today with the president of South Korea. South Korea is going to be sending a delegation to Ukraine. And so South Korea is now, they have a new motivation really to help Ukraine. And I think we're going to see a strong relationship built up between Kyiv and Seoul now that North Korea is in this game.
We'll follow that story for sure. Thanks for keeping us posted. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.